Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, people making a difference on the planet in wild 2012. And the people we're talking to today are maybe people, well, certainly it's a very large network of beings and consciousness who come through Ginger Metro, Galexis. And so many of you have told me you can hardly wait for this show to hear the latest from Galexis. So welcome to the show, Ginger.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, we're really glad you're back again, and there's lots to talk about. You just went to a marketing conference, did you?
Oh, gosh, it was pretty amazing.
I didn't think spiritual people needed to market.
If we don't market, who will ever know anything about what we want to share?
That's right. I mean, we just can't put it out there in the air, hey?
We can't live on prana alone.
This is very exciting. So, and I want to mention something that we haven't mentioned recently, that GalexisSpirit.com, you have weekly healing downloads, love and healing downloads for people to subscribe to. And I just want to remind everybody that these are, and you did a workshop or a little bit of an event here in Bellingham, and people are still talking about the downloads that Galexis brought through during that workout.
Oh, cool.
Or workshop. So I want to remind people at the beginning and again at the end that they can subscribe to these amazing, energizing downloads, which are kind of a marketing tool for us to get into our whole selves, aren't they?
In a sense, if you're going to who are you marketing to, though? To get into your whole self.
Yeah.
You're marketing to yourself.
I don't know. Isn't it? Don't we raise our fields and frequencies, and then we bring ourselves in and attract more of what we want?
Well, yeah. The love and healing sessions, the weekly sessions, are focused on applied manifestation, applied magic, bringing that magic of living a free, a joyous, you know, celebratory kind of successful life, you know, in a magical, wonderful way, and to make it easy. And they also include a lot of healing and a lot of uplifting. Galexis will work on you. And people have been telling us that the sound files that people get from it, because not everybody can be present in Los Angeles, but the sound files people are getting, that they can get the healings and the changes and the the life juicing up just from the audio files, and that's the intention.
Wow, isn't that exciting? So
it is, and it's very reasonable. Mm-hmm. And basically, we have it every Sunday, and on like Monday or Tuesday, we send out the sound file to those people who are on the subscription list, and people listen to them every week, and it makes such a difference in their lives. It's, you know, like a lot of people go to church or to synagogue or whatever, or temple every week, trying to get their juice up. And there's a lot of us who don't really have that strong connection to a particular religious orientation, or we go to a group because we go to be with the group.
Mm-hmm.
But to get ourselves lifted up, to get ourselves connected to the divine within us, we need to remind ourselves and be reminded and be uplifted, and that's what every week does, with a different topic and a different meditation. Really powerful.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm going to sign up, but I kept meaning to do that, but we've been kind of hectic. Have you noticed this year has been a very fast-changing year?
Yes, it is, mm-hmm. And Galexis has said that, said you need to pace yourself this year. There's too much going on otherwise.
Yeah, it's really been a lot. So there's a lot of things that are going by very, very fast, including huge clouds in front of our window right now. So perhaps we can talk to Galexis. I want to talk to Galexis about politics. Do you think they're ready for that?
Oh, gosh, certainly. Tell you what, I'll just go on, head out, and go into trance. And in a few seconds, we'll have Galexis. How's that?
Thank you very much. It's great to talk to you again, Ginger.
Good talking with you, too.
All right.
Bye for now.
Bye.
All right, we are here.
Welcome, welcome. How wonderful to have you on the show again.
Well, it's our pleasure to be here as well.
Well, we're hoping that you're going to bring us a little overview on the world economic situation or world politics, or maybe politics from where you are. What do you think?
Well, it's pretty complex right now. It's like a two rivers meeting, and they're kind of going in opposite directions. And so in the meeting, it's kind of really a whirlpool, a tide pool kind of thing. It's energetically, it's really a very accelerated chaos that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because for a lot of individuals, a lot of groups, a lot of companies, a lot of even countries around the world are having to go through this dark chaos of deconstructing. The economic debacle really brought a lot of countries to their knees, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having to figure out how to recover. They're having to discover their own identity and pull themselves together and get an idea of what they need to do to recover. And this year is a year of, in a sense, of this recovery. It's part of the transition into a whole new way of being for individuals. And this is reflected, of course, universally, or we'd say not universally, but planet-wide, worldwide,
mm-hmm.
As this world, this planet, goes into a greater dimensional awareness.
Mm. It's
so
huge.
There's a lot of chaos, and there's going to be really some extraordinarily positive news, and there's going to be a whole bunch more of the deconstruction, which is, devastating, scary news as well. But know that as of this year, the balance towards the positive is going to increase and get more than the balance towards the negative.
Oh, that's great news. Are we going to have a bunch more revelations of corruption in government and...
That's got to be unveiled. It's got to be revealed. It's got to be known. One of the wonderful things about this past year and the whole thing with the Occupy movement mm-hmm. has been that it's pointing out the phenomenal control over every aspect of people's lives that these multinational corporations, in conjunction with each other, in cahoots with government, have. The power of this is just extraordinary.
It makes you feel a little hamstrung.
Initially, the response needs to be outrage.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be, because it's like, wait a minute, you mean my life is tight, suffering, difficult, and so on, because some guy sitting up in some, financial ivory tower someplace decides he wants to make a whole bunch of money, and he doesn't care what the heck happens to me. You've got to first have this outrage
mm-hmm.
that there are people who are so detached from compassion and so focused and obsessed on making more and more and more and more money, as if this is like the end-all and be-all of existence, that they can treat the rest of everybody and not care about anybody else, and really fool themselves and kind of trick themselves into thinking that whatever's good for them is going to be good for the planet.
Well, is their momentum going to just carry on, or are they going to wake up? I mean, can we see an outcome over the next year or two or three that might give us a sense that they'll wake up to compassion or wake up to a whole world
approach?
Well,
they're not going to wake up to compassion unless people demand it, unless there is a monetary benefit to compassion.
How much is it worth?
Not going to just do it out of the goodness of their hearts. They're not tuned into that aspect of themselves. They're tuned into money. Anything that makes more money, anything that maintains their reputation and therefore enables them to make more money, is something that's of value to them. Their values are so screwed. So with their values being at that twisted place, people have to, as a whole, have to say, wait a minute, that's not right.
Mm-hmm. But the Occupy movement, is it still going on the underground? I mean, did they not?
It's not so, it's winter is hard to have an Occupy movement in.
I know.
Because it's too cold. to sit around and in your tent, you know. But the point is that the Occupy movement pointed it out. Whether there's going to be enough follow through that's going to galvanize action, it depends on the people. Can people maintain a certain sense of outrage enough to start moving it into some kind of action? The first kind of action we'd recommend for any individual is to look at their own life and take their power back in their own life.
Does that mean pulling your funds out of the big banks? What does that mean in terms of taking...
Well, you can do that, but the point is that you've got to realize that there's some corporations that are just buying off everybody. It really makes it very easy. A big, big wealthy corporation can buy off senators and representatives.
And what about this whole PAC thing for the elections? That's a similar buy-off thing.
Oh, absolutely. What a great score for the corporations that they got, that they could strong-arm, and this is the Republican elite, right? Mm-hmm. They strong-arm the Supreme Court to say that a corporation is a person and can put money, and that a corporation can have a point of view and can support a candidate. That's what they've been wanting all along, so that they can just have more control. The thing is that that Republican Party elite is not serving the Republican Party. It's serving themselves.
Mm-hmm. Corporate elite.
That's right. There's a corporate elite. And if you notice, they are trying to get all the rank and file. They're trying to get all the disaffected people to say, I want freedom, I want freedom, I want freedom, I want the government out of my business, I want the, and so on. But they're just getting these people, who are mostly poor and middle class people, all, you know, hot to trot under the collar, and anti-liberalism, and we want to, you know, run the government like a business, and blah, blah, blah. They've kind of brainwashed them into thinking that it's to their benefit, and what they're doing is actually... You know, whatever the poor and the middle class who are staunch Republicans and think it's God's way and this is tradition and God and the church and country and so on and they yeah and we're going to vote Republican are actually shooting themselves in the foot.
Mm-hmm. They really
because
are
because the Republican Party is run by elitists who don't really care.
You know, there are those who say that they want most of the people dead, that there's a world economic order that wants a lot of the flotsam and jetsam of the middle classes gone.
Well, actually, they don't. They just want to control more of the money and the power that the middle class has. Hmm. But they don't like the freedom that the middle class has enjoyed. They don't like to give power away to the middle class so that there's a more equal playing field. They just don't really want to do that.
Hmm.
You see, they don't realize it's to their benefit to do that. It's when they start to realize that the middle class has gotten hollowed out and that they're just not making the money that they want, what they've been doing is they've been just going overseas and they're making more money over there.
But that's going to change, isn't it?
Taking over in other countries.
Isn't that going to change?
That's an increasing situation. That's on the upswing there, and they're kind of abandoning the U.S. Except we would say the pharmaceutical companies, because the United States is their cash cow. They've got it all set up here, so they want people to be sick so that people will take drugs that they sell for extremely high rates.
That are addictive, too.
That are addictive, but that are also cost a fortune.
Hmm.
You know, there is for example, there's a particular drug that helps women who are pregnant not to abort, you know, not to have a miscarry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a safe drug, and it's an old generic drug. It was used for another purpose, but it's been found to help that. Well, it's available for about $6 or $7 a dosage. But what the drug companies are doing is creating a whole new drug category around that so that they can charge something like $4,000 to $6,000 a shot.
Oh my!
You know, that's the idea that they are going to make huge, huge corporate profits off of illness. So it's not that they want to kill a lot of people. They don't want a lot of people to die. No, they want a lot of people to be sick.
Mm-hmm. So what can we do about that? Is that where we, the political action is to look after ourselves in such a way as we won't
be
so...
Yes, exactly. The first thing is you've got to take your power back and say, look, I'm going to, every action that I take, I want to take it in full empowerment and knowledge of who is benefiting mm-hmm. from where I'm putting my money.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that there's a big problem with doctors even going bankrupt, and that there's a whole thing between the doctors, the pharmaceuticals, and the insurance where it's moving in the direction of the insurance people getting most of the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the insurance people get a lot of the money, but believe us, the pharmaceutical companies rake it in.
Hmm.
They've got billions and billions to spend on PACs, billions to spend on influencing Congress people, billions to influence them that you must have, you know, agriculture with the big farms.
Mm-hmm.
You must support the big farms, and that the little farmers are not worth anything.
Big farms spelled P-H-A-R. there's not much we can do. I mean, that's a real megalo power issue, isn't it? And it's going on all over the world, or it goes from America to all the different countries.
The control is being taken of medicine and health. Mm-hmm. The control is being taken on food and supply and agriculture.
Hmm.
That's another location where there's another focus.
That's like the GMO and all that kind of stuff.
The GMOs, also the trying to, in one way or another, pressure, over demand, require too much paperwork of organic farmers, people who supply raw milk, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and thank goodness for Ron Paul putting the issue out there. Of course, everybody discounts him as being a silly old guy, mm-hmm. but he at least said, you know, people have a right to the food that they want. They have a right to the medicine they want.
Mm.
They have a right to, because in the Constitution of the United States, it says that, you know, that you have the right to pursue happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your happiness? Is to be healthy and happy, you know, however you choose to be so. But, of course, Ron Paul's never going to be taken seriously except mm-hmm. by the disaffected younger people who realize, hey, wait a minute, my life's been controlled by corporations and mm-hmm. government.
Well, you know, there have been these petitions coming because there's been a decree or a rule made or a law made, I'm not exactly sure, to stop the sale of supplements, to stop people growing their own vegetables, to make it illegal to grow your own vegetables. Have you seen all that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
This is just on the part of this is that takeover that's what we call big agriculture, right? Mm. Big ag,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
And they're following suit in the pharmaceutical footsteps. This is essentially what the pharmaceutical companies did. They took over the medical schools.
The doctors, they've taken over the doctors.
They disallowed alternative methods of healing and natural medicine and excluded natural methods and so on from support by insurance, government, et cetera, et cetera. So they pulled out all the support for it and then could put in their control. And they've been doing that for quite a long time. But now agriculture has pretty much is catching up with them and is doing the same thing. And kind of led by companies such as Monsanto and all the GMO companies and the ones who are controlling all the seeds and are controlling everything, and they don't want any competition. And they don't want these organic people, and they don't want raw food and raw milk, so they get in cahoots with the FDA and basically say, look, it's dangerous for you.
Mm-hmm. And is there any way of stopping? Like, we're doing things like petitions and so on. Is that just
that's
like
good.
Is it good? Is that effective?
That's good. You need to keep doing that. You need to keep telling people about it. And you need to let them know that there is a sense of organization, that there are many people who have an opinion that's contrary to theirs. At some point, there's going to be enough public opinion to where big corporations have to adjust, have to modulate what they do, have to come across in a better view, have to start taking some responsibility. And the only thing that's going to make them do that is if enough people say, hey, wait a minute, stop doing that. You know, I'm not going to buy your products. Mm-hmm. I'm going to totally, you know, veto you. I'm going to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go into the underground if that's necessary. I'll go out and live in the woods to grow my vegetables if that's what's going to be required. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's going to be enough people complaining about it, enough people fighting it. And things are starting to turn around in some places already just because of public opinion and so forth.
And some countries
over vaccinations for children, you know.
And so some countries are refusing GMOs, aren't they?
Right. Right. They haven't had the corporate takeovers yet.
You think they will?
They still have the ability to actually consider, you know, the rights or the benefits to the people. But in this country, it's the focus is, you know, here's a corporation wants to make money. Well, that's a good thing. You know, any corporation that makes more money, that's a good thing. And so, therefore, that should be good for the country.
It's supposed to be a trickle-down, isn't it?
Yeah, and trickle-down doesn't work.
No, so what's going to happen with the economy for middle-class workers and so many people are really suffering?
They're just going to have to stand up for themselves, and they're not used to doing it. It's just because there's such an overwhelm of demand, overwhelm of paperwork, overwhelm of laws and rules and restrictions and so on, that they've just got to get really dissatisfied and they've got to get their outrage spoken. They've got to communicate it rather than just go and buy some junk food and sit in front of the TV and numb out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then they're just going to get sick and be another statistic in the system. So people need to take individual power. Also, we want to point out from a spiritual metaphysical point of view that if you take your power back, if you own who you are as a spiritual being having a physical body experience, if you own your point of being here is to realize your godhood, right?
Right.
Then your choices are made out of love for you, out of love for the planet. As you change, then this whole reality, which is a reality you and your higher self, soul, and the divine, have co-created for your divine play, for your particular themes, for your particular learning and exploration, will change. You can change the world by changing yourself, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know what an objective reality is. You don't even have one. This whole world is not an objective reality. It's all perceived through you, through your filters. You can't see through anybody else's filters.
Mm-hmm.
So when you change your filters, when you understand that even these people are controlling you, it's not because they have it out for you. It's not a conspiracy to kill you, to hurt you and maim you. It's the conspiracy is mainly, let's just, you know, make more money off of you.
Mm-hmm. You're in our market.
You're our market. Let's make more money off. As you can do that, you can stand up to it and say, wait a minute, I'm going to stop being a consumer the way you want me to be. It's not a rebellion. It's, in a sense, you just getting clear where you're at and honoring and your body, honoring yourself, honoring your spirit, doing what is right for you, even if it means kind of going underground. Mm-hmm. And meeting in a parking lot on an afternoon and getting raw milk out of the back of the trunk.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of us wouldn't mind that.
Whatever it takes.
I wouldn't mind that. Well, the thing is do you see that more and more and more people are growing into their empowerment, and there's that kind of vibrational community that's growing? And
well, we don't see the community part really building that well yet.
Okay.
That's part of what Occupy was hopefully going to do, mm-hmm. but people are just too exhausted with all the stimuli and all the effort of maintaining themselves and keeping their lives running.
Mm-hmm.
They're working too hard. This country, people are working way too hard,
mm-hmm.
way too many hours. It's just become a workaholic country, and that's part of why it's so, you know, the elite really want to just get more and more money from
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
Because they work really hard, and of course in this economy it's really effortful, so more people in the family are going to have to hold down jobs, maybe people are going to have to hold down multiple jobs, you know.
Well, that's already happening, isn't it?
And it's already happening with mm-hmm. this economic downturn.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, you've got more people working for less money
mm-hmm.
than ever before
mm-hmm.
to maintain their standard of living. And then they end up paying so much of it for taxes. And this whole thing of it is that if you, as an individual, take your power and you recognize what you're doing and take your judgments off, take your rebellion away, and stand in your power, because you cannot be powerful and be a rebel at the same time.
Hmm. Because
a rebel
is
rebelling against the power.
Mm-hmm.
The power is who you're rebelling against. So stop rebelling. Just stand and firm and speak out and say what you feel, what you know, speak your truth, and demand your rights,
mm-hmm.
you see, as a powerful person, as justice, as truth, you see. So that's, in a sense, where people need to come to, but they also have to value themselves enough to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is partly why a lot of us are on places like BBS Radio talking and trying to bring inspiration or empowerment.
Exactly. That's mm-hmm. a great deal of why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why you love doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're broadcasting light out there.
Yeah. And there are many, you know, many. It's almost like a community, even though we don't know each other, a lot of us, you know.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You're sending out information. You're sending out love and light. You're sending out hope. You're sending out a dream, a mm-hmm. vision. And there is a network, and it's growing in a sense. It's not growing in a sense of physical community, because you're also spread out all over the Internet and around the world and stuff. But it is growing in a sense on a spiritual grid.
A vibrational grid, eh?
A vibrational grid. We call it the Society of Dreamers.
Oh, great. I love that.
Right? It's those who are dreaming of a new world. And in order to be part of that, you see, there are grids around the planet that we call the collective,
mm.
you know, or there's a mainstream grid of all the choices that are acceptable to the mainstream. Then there is a spiritual visionary grid, which you belong to,
mm.
and which your listeners belong to. You see what we're saying?
Yes.
And that's a different grid. There's a light grid. It's light beams that going all over the planet. If you could see it, it's a phenomenal grid. And there's everywhere the lights cross. It's like a node. That's where a person is.
Oh, really? Oh, that's wonderful.
And each one of those people are a member of this whole grid. And every time you grow and expand your light, there's a flow, a greater flow of light in your grid.
Wonderful.
Now, you know, the mainstream grid is pretty strong
mm-hmm.
because, you know, if you like football, for example, then you belong right in the mainstream grid. You know, and so all these people watching the Super Bowl and being involved about talking about this team and that team and being for one team and against another team or whatever it is, all of that is part of consensus or mainstream grid. That's the collective. They want you to be there because they sell lots of food.
Mm-hmm.
They sell lots of products.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, you're encouraged by, you know, the mainstream having been led by the multinational corporations to eat certain things and to buy certain cars and all this and that and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, when you wake up, all of that starts to be not so important.
Right. It's kind of weird.
What's important is what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes you feel happy and joyous, what enables you to love more, enables you to be loved more, enables you to feel freer, to be connected more to the divine. That's what opens you up. That's what helps you.
Mm-hmm.
See, so your choices are probably not going to be
hot dogs
as much involved in the mainstream choices. You're not going to go and buy Pringles because that's the one that's advertised, you know, let's say, you know, at the middle of your favorite cop and, you know, cop show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're going to choose very carefully what you eat, what you put in yourself, and your network of people are going to be other people who have alternative or greater opinions. We're not saying you can't like football, but mm-hmm. just don't fall for the corporate sponsorship.
Mm-hmm. Now, that makes
sense.
Don't
fall for the, let's get, you know, be for this one and against that one. Let's you and him fight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not do all that type of thing with it. Enjoy it for the sport. Enjoy it if you've played it or if you always liked it. You know, have fun with it. But just don't let yourself be run by the corporates. You see?
Yeah, when you say run, I when you were talking about how when we empower ourselves and we move our reality, we change our reality, and what you're saying, it's reminding me, it's kind of like tethers us into that grid instead of letting us explore our own empowerment,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Yeah, if you want to get a car because the ad made it look really sexy and you think people are going to be impressed with you, you know, you're stuck in the mainstream grid.
Aha. Well, then I won't buy that car.
Your motivation, is to be impressed and part of the hierarchy of the grid.
Hmm.
Of the mainstream. That's part of the pecking order, part of the male chauvinistic orientation. But if, for example, you look for a car and, like, this car is, you know, got good mileage and it's good, well constructed and it feels good for me and I like the space and the room in it and I like the way it handles and it's good transportation for me and I enjoy driving it, then that's your choice. That's what a light worker will do.
Hmm.
You see, it's a different orientation. You're not doing it to make a mark in the consensus. Now, the thing is, what's happening that's changing, and it's been changing over the past 2 to 3 years, and it's going to be accelerating tremendously, is that you as spiritual beings, with your choices, are going to begin, and you have already started, you're not always aware of it, but you're going to lead the consensus. You're going to lead the mainstream. You're going to expand the mainstream. You're going to bring people up in frequency.
Good.
And you need to take responsibility for doing that by taking your own power and stop rebelling and stop judging. Stop judging the mainstream. As soon as you judge anything, you resist it, how in the world are you going to be able to get money? The money comes from the mainstream. Mainstream rewards its own.
Yeah, so you can't just separate entirely, hey?
No, you can't separate. And that's been part of the problem for spiritually oriented people because they've been in so much rebellion, and then they've been detached from the mainstream and judging it. And saying, oh, well, that's just, you know, all that sales and marketing and business. It's all so mean and cutthroat and dog-eat-dog and dominating and manipulating and so on. I don't want to be any part of that. I resent when I am being sold something. I feel manipulated.
Hmm.
And so, therefore, I don't want to sell anybody anything. You know, so what are you going to make? How are you going to make money? So
good
there's
point.
All this judgment, superiority. It's a spiritual superiority indeed. It's
mm-hmm.
like these people are not caring people. These people are not loving people. These are mean, greedy people, and I don't want to support them at all. I'm rebelling against them. So up yours. I'm not going to participate in the system. But then you're not going to get any benefits from the world either.
But hang on, there's some other stuff too that I'm sure you're more than aware of, which is, for example, the media blasts of what we should be like and feel like. You have to really extricate your mind from a lot of that because it'll run the mind.
But that's not a rebellion, and it's not a judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to resist it. You just want to stay aware.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge difference in
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about is awareness. Be aware of what the media is trying to do to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's mm-hmm. trying to get money from you. Basically, that's the main thing. It's trying to extract your allegiance to a product or to a certain thing where they're going to be able to get money from you.
Well, it's a hypnosis too, isn't it? Like if you wear this, you'll be important. If you do that, you'll be important or whatever.
Well, they're making value judgments on stuff, and they're saying because everybody else thinks so, then this should persuade you to think so as well.
Mm-hmm.
You need to belong.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get you for that. You see, but if you are aware, you have to understand as a spiritual person, you belong anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You came, you made a choice to come onto this planet. You belong here on this planet. So many spiritual people say, I don't feel like I belong here. You know, or maybe I should have been born in some other time. You know, it just doesn't, I don't relate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, you're here because you are the bridge. You need to come and stand in your light. So that you can lead.
Right.
Not follow. You didn't come here to be a sheep. You hate being sheep anyway. You know? Well, ask a spiritual person if they see themselves as obedient, compliant sheep.
Yeah.
None of them do. They'll get angry right away. Say, no way, no way. You know, so the point is that what you came to do is to create a new resonance, a new sense of order.
And also was part of it to become multidimensional, to be aware of the different...
Oh, yeah. But if you can be aware of something, you're not influenced by it. Because then it's your choice. You're empowered. Mm-hmm. If you're aware of what the media is trying to get you to do, you're in choice. When you're empowered, you don't fall for it. You see, then you can choose whether, I do like those clothes. I do like that car, but not to impress people and not because that's going to make me look sexy. I like it because I like the way it performs. I like the way it looks. I like, you know, et cetera, for me.
Hmm.
Because the thing is that spiritual people have got to reach out to the mainstream. We've got to put our hands out and pull up our brothers and sisters who are lost like sheep in the hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
To awaken them. Hello, be aware. They're just trying to do this for you. Be aware, you belong here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to buy that car or buy those clothes, get that watch, so that you can belong.
But sometimes we have trouble getting along with people as well.
Of course. If you see any New Age center, you know, there's like there's people were putting together wellness centers and New Age centers all through the 80s and the 90s and so on. You don't see so many of them anymore.
No.
Why? Because they get together and they all had their spiritual, you know, idealism and so on, but their egos couldn't get along.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody wanted more money and the others didn't want to pay it, and somebody wanted more, you know, everybody to look up to them, and other people said, why look up to you? Why not me? You know, and the egos were just, you know, not working.
But I think also there's another thing is that if you're an intuitive, a lot of us had to fight for our sanity and the tightening of our perceptions through a
yes.
kind of a self-protective thing, and I think it made us a little bit
initially,
defensive.
Initially, yes, you had to put barriers up,
mm-hmm.
or you'd be just swamped.
Mm-hmm. Or
with
confused.
Negative vibrations.
Or wondering whether you're crazy or what, you know.
Right. And that's you know, if you're going to change something, you're going to make big changes in something, you've got to go to what needs to be changed first.
Yeah.
So voila, you all got born at this time, which is a time of great change that you're part of and participating in and helping along.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to be born first in the crazy stuff to where you didn't seem to fit.
Mm-hmm. In order to find yourself,
it forced you to find who you are, to look within. Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? Where do you want to go? What is your purpose in life? You know, what means a lot to you. What are your preferences and priorities? Mm. What's your sense of order? What's your connection to the divine? What juices you up? What makes you happy?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we had to learn that. We were outcasts initially.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were all these broken, wounded people who came to us because we had compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And so many spiritual people then started taking on the problems of other people, you know, the empathic people, you know. And so after a while, that gets empathic people down. They get depressed because they weren't able to hold up the awareness. If you've noticed, people are not suffering that way anymore. The spiritual people are no longer crumbling because of the burden of carrying the sadness of everybody around them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing it anymore. It's done.
So it's like
that
a
was a
50-year
process. That was a growth period.
Mm.
You notice that you don't pick up people's stuff anymore?
No, I do sometimes.
Do,
but yeah, no, I hardly ever do, when I do healings, yes.
That's right, mm-hmm. Because now your energy field, your radiance and light, projects more than it actually receives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the difference.
And the self-love.
Back in the 80s and the 90s and what the 70s, 80s, 90s, people were learning to receive, and mm-hmm. that was a good thing. But they received the crap as well as the good stuff. Right?
What a learning curve, eh?
Right, it's a learning curve. But now they wisened up. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, they started really wisening up and realized, I've got to protect myself. I can't. I've got to cleanse any negativity that comes my way. I've got to get clear. I've got to protect myself. It's gone now to the next stage of awareness, the next stage of consciousness. Instead of protecting yourself, now it's about radiating your light and your love.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you radiate love, you don't pick up that crap. Why? Because you only pick up stuff that's resonating with your stuff.
Right.
If you're projecting, then other people are picking up your stuff.
Hmm.
And if you're projecting love, they're picking up your stuff because you become more dynamic, you become more radiant, you become more focused over the years. That's the spiritual growth curve that everyone is in the spiritual arena has experienced. So you can even see people who are beginning to be healers for the first time not even picking stuff up anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, the consciousness has shifted through the collective, eh?
Yes, and now this is shifting the collective.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about multidimensionality. That is a part of our deal, our purpose for coming here, isn't it, is becoming consciously multidimensional?
Right. Well, it's becoming conscious of how to use our multidimensionality and claiming it as part of who we are, right? And it's interesting that you say that because last Sunday, we did a love and healing that was called The Greater Dimensions.
Hmm.
And we talked about how you utilize, how individuals utilize the fourth dimension, fifth dimension, sixth dimension, seventh dimension in their daily life.
Hmm.
You want to work in your daily life with the lower seven dimensions.
Hmm.
Your physical plane is basically 49 dimensions, 7 times 7. All right. That's kind of the way the universe kind of orders itself, is like sevens and twelves, you know.
I guess my question is, are you teaching how to become aware of all of these at any given time?
Yes. Yes, in that particular one, it would take us a bit long to describe it now,
mm-hmm.
but it's we take about 45 minutes to an hour, and we take an individual, we explain it all the way through, and how to work with the different dimensions. And what was wonderful is that the people who were present and asked questions also asked questions, really wonderful questions on the topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of like it continued. And then we did a meditation which enabled people to look at what they desired, what they wanted to manifest, and to work with it in a greater dimensionality and to really claim more of who they are so that their manifestations can be greater accordingly.
So if we went on to galexaspirit.com, February 12th, Love and Healing, we would find it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, provided Daniel's already put it up there. Sometimes he takes a week to do it.
But if we remember the date. Mm-hmm.
but it's a February 12th one. It's called Greater Dimensions, mm-hmm. and it's just one of the weekly love and healings. And people get these every week, you see, mm-hmm. so that we're really putting together spiritual expansion in February, and that's why we did the higher planes, and that's why we're doing on the 26th, we're doing busting space and time limitations, so people can really focus on working with fourth dimension.
Great. That's very exciting.
Yeah, it's all about freeing and expanding yourself so that you can allow yourself to acknowledge and claim and own the greater divinity that you are. And that's what spiritual people need to do so that they can actually have an impact, more conscious, deliberate impact on the collective, on the mainstream reality, and so that they can receive the abundance, that the mainstream reality has incredible abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And why not receive that? You don't have to kowtow and dance to the consensus theme to make money. You can do it if you get your message out there and you allow yourself with love and compassion to receive those good things because you're broadcasting. Mm-hmm. You're broadcasting your light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can believe in yourself enough and love yourself enough to allow yourself to step up to the plate there, you know, that you can really get some really wonderful success going. And you can market. You'll find that there is a tremendous network of supportive people that you have no clue about until you get there.
Hmm.
It's like people who are marketing spiritual stuff in the celebrity community and in Hollywood, for example, and they find all sorts of spiritual people in there.
Hmm.
And they're celebrities who are, like, really into their spirituality.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot, aren't they?
They're embarrassed about showing it up. But any group that you talk to, there'll be people who come up to you afterwards and say, well, I never told anybody this story, but when I was, you know, a few years ago, I had this experience. I actually saw an angel, or I actually had this, you know, experience of the divine, or I actually had this breakthrough out-of-body experience.
Hmm.
And these people have these because it's happening more and more, but they don't have anybody to talk to about it.
Hmm.
And when you get your light out there, more and more of these people say, oh, that's what that is. There's somebody who knows what this is that's going on inside me that's creating all this Sturm und Drang, creating all this wonderment, creating all this change in me. Now I can go and find out. Now I can step into the light. Now I can be okay. Now I'm not crazy.
Isn't that great?
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what spiritual people need to do on a small scale with mm-hmm. just, you know, friends. You know, sometimes you have to forget family because family says, no, you're not that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the person we want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, friends, local groups, local society, and so forth, all the way into world impact.
Hmm, I love that. Well, let's change just to a teeny bit. This is also frequency, people embodying frequencies. What would you have to say in the short time we have left about the ET world? Are we going to have more and more recognition of that as well, sharing the light of that, or what
oh,
do you think?
Oh, of course, yes.
And
it,
are part of your collective,
coming.
Is part of your collective ET?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to understand, too, that the definition of ET varies.
Mm-hmm, of course.
ET is anything that's extraterrestrial, which could mean anybody out of body.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone without a body can be extraterrestrial, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It could also refer to those whose home base or contemporary or current home base is another planet or galaxy or even universe.
And do you feel like more and more of us are going to be associating with that awareness of
yes, because,
galactic beings?
Because essentially, you didn't start here. Your soul's journey is not Earth-based.
No.
You came from the stars yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You've had lifetimes in other star systems, and Earth is just a recent exploration on the part of your soul. And this is true for most everyone on the planet.
Well, let's go into like 2012. Is it truly the time, it's like the confluence of these different dimensions it's the time and place where we get to expand all this and we watch the dissemblement. Is all of that true, would you say?
Well, yes, and also no. The yes part is because it's part of a phase that started in 2006.
Okay.
And is culminating in 2018. Right? And if you notice, that's 12 years.
Right.
This is the midpoint of that 12 years.
Mm.
And people focus on 2012 just because it has the magical number 12 in it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a pivotal year because it is that center, that midpoint of the beginning and the culmination.
As 2006 was the beginning of the dissemblement of all this, or was it the beginning of what, rapid change?
No, 2006 was where the new templates for the new reality that we came to dream and came to put in place, the greater dimensionality, first came in. It started seeping in 2006.
Okay.
In the latter part of that year. The alignment of the galaxy and the Earth and so on that was supposedly considered this the end times that in the Mayan prophecy and so on and so on, that particular alignment actually happened, 4 years, almost, let's see, over 3 years ago.
And what difference would that make now? Because any galactic alignment...
Because you're already now in what you would have previously thought 2012 was going to bring. You're already there.
Mm.
Okay? But there's an acceleration that started happening in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Huge acceleration. It's continuing. 2012, as we said, that time when the shift of balance from the negative to the positive in the mainstream, in the chaos that's ensuing out there, starts to become apparent to those who are aware.
That's right now.
And that's this year, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over the next 6 years, there's going to be a greater acceleration of, and you've been noticing this for the past several years, your psychic gifts, your spiritual gifts are coming alive. They're coming more online. It's becoming more natural for you, becoming more present for you. Mm. And this is true for everybody. It's all ages are starting to get the additional psychic juice for their own awakening. All right? Now, over the next several years, you're going to see some really huge changes. And the first one that we say that's going to make a big difference is going to be in the area of health and healing.
Okay.
And you can see how many people are taking healing workshops, doing energy healing, and how many people are getting into nutrition. And here's this battle over our supplements because they know, the corporate giants know, that if we take our power back and we choose our own supplements, our own food, what we choose to put in our bodies, and we choose it consciously, that we're not going to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
They can't make money off of us.
That's right.
And they want us to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
You see. So,
and do you think we'll learn to do enough healing that we won't need to have medical coverage? Is that possible? It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah. But you have to realize that there will come a point where you know and you realize and you understand that you've got spiritual coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Your divine plan is your medical coverage. In a
woo-hoo!
Sense. Right?
Yep.
But you're not there yet.
Okay.
Most people are not there yet. Now, maybe a few people who are there already.
Next year?
But, well, it really depends on how much empowerment and how much awareness you can have of your healing power and of what it is that's really creating illness so that you can avoid it, so that you're doing those things which create vital health for you.
So it's what we haven't cleared a lot of the time.
And we haven't cleared, so yes, there's stuff that hasn't cleared yet. But it's a showdown is going to be between the corporate giants and the individuals over food, over healing methods, and healing substances and personal, the fight's over your body.
Wow. Okay? And water.
And you're going to win.
Yay!
You're going to win.
And we unfortunately have to say goodbye, and I don't like to let you go, so I trust that you'll be willing to come back again.
Well, yes. I'd be very happy. We love having these wonderful conversations that go all over the place with you. And you know, if people really enjoy this kind of conversation, as not only listening to your shows, but also subscribing to the Love and Healing events. It's called, you can look on the GalexaSpirit.com website and you can see that. And this is where we can really make a difference for you in little increments, but really juice you up. Let those beautiful gifts of yours emerge.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to sign up. Bob, too.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, Ginger and Galexis. Thank you so much, Daniel, too, who's in the background. We simply love you and appreciate your wisdom. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and we wish you beautiful bounty and wondrous blessings for 2012 and beyond.
Thank you. Good night. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, oh, well, that was Galexis through Ginger Mitreau, and check GalexisSpirit.com for those Love and Healing downloads and some of their wonderful workshops on CDs and so on. And if you'd like to be in touch with me for feedback on this show, suggestions of other guests, or a session with me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. So many blessings, everyone. Many blessings. Good night, and thank you for listening.